Right, good morning. At some stage we'll give some feedback with some photographs and so on. It just hasn't happened. Last week there was a team of 10 of us that went to Edmonton, and church was planted. It was very exciting. It was good. It was a long trip. It was about 10 to 12 hours one way and then 10 to 12 back. But it was really exciting to see. You know, very first meeting, they had 18 people come. 2 people got saved. God is planting something there. And we talk about generosity. We stayed in a really, really generous person's home that took 8 of us in. And their kids moved out of their rooms, and they all slept in one room. And I think it was his mom was there as well, and she moved out of her room and went upstairs and just emptied their house, fed us, looked after us, and so on, and were really, really generous to us. But it was great, and I think, you know, just going on those trips and being able to partner with other churches. They planted out of the church in Nanaimo, Oceanside, and went there. I think there were 2 couples. One of the couples actually relocated with them. I didn't know that before the time, and really made some really strong, good connections. So if you're ever in Edmonton, look for Explore Life Church. And go and visit them. They'd love a visit from you. All right. Any of you feel God calling you to be part of a church plant? Start looking for a job in Edmonton. Go find a job there. Go be part of the church plant. Seek first His kingdom. And put that first. And say, God, I want to be part of the church plant. Won't you give me a job? And do it that way. It's amazing how God honors that. All right, let's just pray together. Father, I thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank You, Lord, for wonderful times of worship in Your presence, Lord. Thank You for the opportunity we have to be generous, to be able to give that which is ultimately Yours anyway. Thank You, Lord, for the season that You have taken us into and are taking us into and through, Lord God, a season of fruitfulness in the life of the church. And Lord, I pray this morning that as I speak, Lord God, I pray that in each of our hearts, You would point out areas that perhaps need to be fruitful. You'd point out areas that we are fruitful in. You'd point out areas that we could be more fruitful in. And Lord, we know that ultimately You're the one that brings the growth. You're the one that waters that which we sow. And Lord, I pray this morning that our hearts would be open wide to receive what You have to say for us. In Jesus' name. Right, so we're going to have a look at the book of Leviticus. Some of you that have read through the book of Leviticus might think to yourself, how can one preach out of Leviticus? Well, one can. And so some of those books in the Old Testament, especially if you're reading the Bible from cover to cover, it's like it's doing the hard yards, you know. It's like the uphills on the marathon. But they need to be done to get to the downhills. And so I want to have a look at Leviticus chapter 26. We are busy preaching, and those that are preaching are looking at the area of fruitfulness, because God has spoken to us through many people in scriptures about new life coming into a season of fruitfulness. Now, you might think in your life right now, well, I'm not being fruitful right now. Well, as a church, we want to be fruitful, and that would spill over into your personal life as well as a corporate fruitfulness. But there may be areas in your life where there might be less fruit because God is removing some rocks out of the fields of your heart so that there can be fruitfulness. And I trust that we'll find those areas where God is calling us to be fruitful in this season. So let's have a look at Leviticus chapter 26. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word remains true, and what He has said in the past was relevant to them, and it's relevant to us. And so, it says in chapter 26, verse 3 to verse 12, if you follow My decrees and are careful to obey My commands. Now, we say sometimes, well, I'm under grace, I'm not under the law, therefore there are no commands. Well, that's not entirely true. Jesus said, I sum up the law with these 2 commands. The great commandment, love the Lord your God with your entire being, and others as yourself. And so we sum those up, And we say that God has commanded us, even under the new covenant. This is what I'm telling you. Love the Lord your God and love others. That's what he's saying. And so all of the law is encapsulated in those two. And the outworking of that is the Great Commission. If you follow my decrees and be careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees of the field their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove savage beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. And your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers. And I will keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with your heads held high. Now we understand that so much of the Old Testament was spoken to the people of God. And there's an application for us as the people of God. Maybe perhaps we won't run around down the streets of Cornell with swords in our hands slaughtering people. That would be unhelpful. The government frowns upon such action. And so that's not what he's saying there. That's not the application for us today. But there are things, there are enemies in our lives, whether they be ourselves, whether they be demonic forces, whatever it is, that God gives us victory in a time of fruitfulness. Verse 3. Says, if you obey my commands. See, God gives us a choice. He says, you can or you can't. And the same promise is for us today as what it was for his people. He says to them, I put before you a choice. I put before you life and death. He says, I'm asking you, please, choose life, because both have consequences. Both have consequences, and that's the way God works. He says, please choose this, because I want to bless you. But if you don't choose this, if you choose death, then that's where you're going to find yourself. And so he gives us this choice. He says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, if we choose to put something else like ourselves before loving the Lord our God with all of our being, there are consequences to that. And one of the consequences is to not be fruitful in our lives. So he's saying if you do these things, there will be fruitfulness. He promises to reward us. In verse 4, he says, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field their fruit. Now what's important here, he says, I will send you rain. That's important. It's more important than we think. You see, sometimes we think that we can produce fruitfulness. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'll just work really hard, I'll be really nice to my neighbor, and there'll be fruit. No, no, God sends the rain. He sends the rain. He's the one that causes us to be fruitful. We rely 100% upon him. 100%. It speaks about God being in control. And the growth and fruitfulness is because of his supply. Lest we become proud and we say, look what I've done. See, the ground with the seed in it has the potential to grow. Sometimes what happens is that even in Christian circles, we have a look at somebody who has reaped great benefit from the blessing of God, and we lift up that person and say, man, that guy's a good evangelist, or that lady's amazing speaking to people about the Lord. Understanding that before that, there has been fallow ground. There has been ground full of rocks, and somebody somewhere in a Sunday school class has helped us remove some of those rocks out of our lives and say, this thing here will actually prevent us to grow. Let's take it out of our lives. Let's plow this field. Let's get it ready. Somebody else has sown some seed. Seeds of faith, seeds of joy, whatever it might be. The seeds are there. They've been plowed. They've been put into the ground. They've been laid out. And then the water of the Spirit comes. And he's the one that causes the growth. He's the one that actually causes the stuff to grow so that there's fruit. And very often we look at the growth and we say, okay, so because of that, there's fruit, therefore I'm a champion. No, no, no. I did what I was called to do. And God brought the growth. He's the one that watered. He's the one that draws people to the Father. The Holy Spirit does that. Sometimes we put up plastic plants in our lives, eh? Sometimes there's, remember there used to be plastic plants here. That season's gone. I understand. I mean, many churches had plastic plants and so on. And the problem is, like, when it comes to spring cleaning day, nobody wants to clean the plants. Because there's so many little leaves and they all get full of dust. But there's no fruit on a plastic plant. If it's there, it's plastic. You can't eat it. You can try. It'll give you a stomachache. Good to look at, but there's no life. So one of the things that we want to make sure as new life is that the fruit is genuine. That the fruit is that which comes from God. It's not something that we have conjured up and worked up because we followed some sort of program. And there's many helpful programs out there. One of our values is that we will not just follow the crowd, whatever that crowd might be. Something may have worked here, it might not work there. Something may be a revelation to that church, it may not be a revelation to us right now. It's not wrong, it's just a different season, different place, different time. We want to hear from God and say, God, how do we ensure that there is fruit produced right here? What do you want us to sow? What do you want us to put into? What do you want us to prepare so that you can come by your Spirit and fruit can come? The ground has crops to yield, and the trees have fruitfulness to produce. The potential is there. Speaks to me about gifts and talents and potential that each of us have in us. You may not have grown up in a Christian home, and I don't know what percentage that would be. You may look back at your life and say, well, you know, there's all these wasted years. I want to say that God doesn't waste years. And even through difficult times, even through times when you may never have even heard of God, and maybe you were in an abusive home, maybe you grew up really, really poor and you had to steal for food and stuff like that. You know, I don't know all of your circumstances. But the reality is that there's seed that's been sown. There's something that has been put in there that God can redeem and that He can use even when you were lost. And the Word tells us that that which the devil meant for harm, God will turn it into good. What did it do? Well, it made you resourceful. Maybe you knew how to steal really well. Well, now we're going to change that and say that, yes, you're resourceful, but you do good. We're going to find something good. Maybe you're really, really, really stubborn. You didn't want to listen to anybody. You were just a hard-headed person. There's some of you that are still like that. But anyway, so some of us that are still like that. That's what some of you are thinking, aren't you? Yeah. And it's true. But God takes that. He takes the stubbornness. And He takes our heart of stone and He gives us a heart of flesh and He says, I'm going to make you tenacious. I'm going to make you hang in there. When everybody else around you is falling off the boat, you're going to hang in there because that thing which was stubbornness, I've turned into tenacity for the gospel. You're going to make this. That's the way God does this. He looks at us with favor and He sees even the broken part of our life and He says, I'm going to change that. I'm going to make it beautiful. Now, some of you might like modern art. I don't particularly like it. I think my daughter, when she was four, did better stuff. But it's very similar. There's a lot of similarity. It looks like the eyeballs out of place and the noses. It just looks odd to me. I can't appreciate it. I really can't. But God takes something like that, where everything seems out of place, and He says, no, this wasn't a four-year-old that drew this picture. It was me. And even though you look like that, you're of great value. You're of great value. Not everybody appreciates all of those. Maybe there's people that don't appreciate the talents and the gifts that you have. But if God's put it in there, it's for His glory and it's going to produce fruitfulness, especially in this season coming. You'll ask yourself, what is it? What is it that God has put in your hand? See, as the rain falls and we drink that in, and Chris spoke a little bit about that at the prayer meeting before the time. It's about getting into God's presence with an expectation that He is going to fill us. And when He fills us, His joy is made complete in His presence. And as He fills us, it's like the rain of God starting to fall in our lives. And then all of a sudden we see those little seeds that have been sown and they start to grow. And all of a sudden there's a fruitfulness, but it's in His presence. It's Him that brings the rain and the water and causes it to grow. Paul writes about that later on, and he said, man, there's a whole lot of you guys talking to the church, and you're elevating people. You're saying, man, I'm following Peter. And Peter was like one of Jesus' favorite three. So that gives me some sort of value. But I know I'm going to follow Paul because he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had this amazing experience, you know. And plus he's got all this knowledge from his studies in the past. Other people say, no, I'm going to follow Apollos, because Apollos was this guy who was able to teach. And he says, none of that matters. He says, actually, it's God who brings the growth. We go and say, well, you know, I got a New Life Church, you know, well, they've got a really free church, they got flags and everything, you know, we must be better than everybody else. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. God brings the growth. He's the one that blesses us. He's the one that brings fruitfulness. And if God's bringing us into a season of fruitfulness, and I think that it's essential for us to get into His presence on a more regular basis. And we're not saying, look, everybody's got to do an hour, you know, right, from today. Everybody's doing an hour. And if you're not doing that, man, you're not going to be fruitful. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that when our times with God come around, it might be every morning, it might be every evening, whenever it is for you, come with an expectation saying, God, where are the areas in my life that you are asking me to be fruitful? You're asking me to be fruitful. Sometimes I pick on people when I'm up here. And today I want to pick on Dave and Carol Gisbrecht. Like Dave and Carol came to the DNA. They plugged into the life of the church. Man, they have invited so many people to their house. It's unbelievable. There's always people going and meeting them and their dog. It's like, it's true. There's a fruitfulness that is coming out of their lives of hospitality, of friendship, of relationship, of building with other people, of saying, come into my house, what's mine is yours, just come sit down, have a meal, we'll play a few games. I think we played Scrabble when we were there, they beat the pants off us, but anyway, we didn't stand a chance, these guys are good at that. But there's a fruitfulness. What do you have in your hand? Well, I have a house that God blessed me with. I have a little friendly dog, and we can both cook. Well, I think Carol's there, I don't know who's the cook, but they both cook very well. And we can cook and we can bless people. What is it God's put in your hand? What is that season of fruitfulness that God is bringing us into on an individual basis? You guys are an example, man. Seriously. Now I understand that sometimes we move into almost a hyper-faith realm. And we just want to see fruit throughout our lives, 24/7, all the time. I want to say that there's seasons that we are not so fruitful. And there might be areas in your life that you think, man, I've got nothing to give in this area. And I want to say that's okay. Because every single field, there's a time that it lies fallow for a while. There's a time that some plowing needs to take place. There's a time that we need to take those rocks out of our lives and say, God, what are these things that offend you? I'm not worried about offending people. I don't want to offend you. I don't want these rocks to be in the way of fruitfulness. When you take the tractor over there, you're going to break the thing because there's too many rocks in our fields. Whatever it is, don't go backwards. Don't go backwards. Don't retreat. There's an area in your life where you think, man, I'm really struggling in this part. Get somebody with you so that you can continue to stand your ground and then eventually move forward. Hold your position. We do that by keeping an attitude of faith and an attitude of expectancy that God has promised. Even when it's difficult, keep plowing. Keep pressing forward in God. Because the rewards are great. Maybe you're struggling with something in your life. Maybe there's an abiding sin, or there's something that you just can't get it over. You can't get over it. Whatever it might be. Maybe God spoke to you a while ago about going to the gym and getting some exercise. Things are important. It's important to look after our bodies. Well, whatever it is that God has spoken to, maybe you're like, I'm really, really, really struggling in that area. Just keep pressing forward. Saying that I want to be fruitful even in this area. I want to be fruitful in every area that God has for me. So if we truly believe that God loves us more than we love ourselves, then we know that God knows what the season is for us. That He says, I'm going to take you into a season of fruitfulness. We look at that, and all we see is like the servant who saw a little cloud the size of a man's fist. He said, that's all I see. And the prophet said to him, the rain's coming. He went back, and he says, no, it's all I can see. The rain's coming. No, that's all I can see. And the next thing, the rain came. Sometimes we look at the little cloud and we think, man, I can't see anything. I just can't see it, God. I can't see it. But God has said He's bringing us to an area, into a season of fruitfulness. All right, have a look at verse 5. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. God is abundantly generous. God is generous. He gives more than we deserve, without a doubt. If every one of us got what we deserve, we wouldn't have what we have. See, He promises such a great abundance here. He says, before the threshing of the wheat is complete, get ready for a grape harvest. So maybe you're at a place where actually I'm going to be harvesting all of these things. So God's saying, well, now that you've harvested that, maybe that season's over. Now I'm moving you into something else. What is it that God has called you to do? Maybe you've been doing the same thing for years and years and years and years. It's become a little dull. And God might be calling you to something new. And when we step back and we say, okay, what has God promised us as a church? God has promised that there will be healings, a fruitfulness in the area of healing. That might be emotional healing, it might be mental healing, it might be physical healing, whatever it might be. We've got to say to ourselves, well, I have prayed for 17 people and not one person got healed. Surely not. All I see is the cloud the size of a man's fist. I don't see it. I don't see the rain. God brings us into a season where He says, just keep praying. Just keep praying. At some stage, something's going to happen when it's my time, not when it's your time. Maybe God has taught you to be tenacious. Maybe during that season, you have at one stage determined, I don't see it, I read it, and it said to me, so I'm going to carry on doing it. That's what I do. I'm just stubborn and tenacious. You pick whichever one you like. But God said, if you lay your hands on the sick and you pray for them, they'll be healed. I've prayed for some people that received their sight, and I've prayed for, but that, you know, it was few and far between. You know, this miracle happened, that miracle happened. I've prayed for much more people, maybe 90% of people, where I've prayed for something, I don't know whether they got healed. They say they got a headache and they don't have a headache. How do I know? Maybe they're just trying to keep me happy. I don't know. But they say, oh, the headache's gone. Trust people are more honest than that. Well, there are times when I've said to people, how does it feel? Say, well, it's still sore. Okay, I'm going to pray again. And I pray again and I say, is it still sore? Yeah, it's still sore. And my foot's still sore. And I say, well, I'm going to pray again. And we pray again and the foot's still sore. I say, well, I trust the miracle happens tonight. I don't know. It's like, well, I prayed three times. I prayed whatever times and it never got healed. And so I say, well, I did what God said I must do. He's the one that brings the fruitfulness. And I want to encourage you in that, is that we just do what we do. God's the one that brings the growth. He's the one that waters. He's the one that brings the fruit. Just keep digging. Just keep throwing down the seed, taking the rocks out of our lives. See, this portion speaks to me that God supplies everything that I need. In a certain season, I need something. And in the next season, I need something else. Sometimes we're looking to harvest grapes and the wheat is ripe and it's ready to be harvested. But I like the grapes. Harvest the wheat. I like the grapes. The grapes are better. You can have some grape juice. You can make some wine. You can eat the grapes like on the table. You can have this and that. Eat the wheat. It's time for the wheat. The harvest, that harvest will come. And that analogy just really speaks to me about the people of the Spirit and the people of the Word. And there should be no big split between the two. There are those that walk around and they seem to be the spiritual ones, and we've described them before, and people mock me for that. You know those guys. And then you got the other guys that are like little blocks, and they're solid on the Word. And we've got to have both. We've got to have both. We've got to be solid in the Word, and we've got to be free in the Spirit. We've got to hear what God is saying to us. We've got to drink of that wine, and we've got to be free in His presence. But we've got to maintain that we're on the rock, that Christ Jesus remains the cornerstone. And so in this time of fruitfulness, we believe that most of the fruit coming would be more of the grape type, because we're speaking about great exploits in God. We speak about an exploit in God. We had a little exploit. 10 of us got in our cars, and we drove all the way to Edmonton, and we helped with the church plant. People got saved, and then we came back, and we had a story to tell, and that was an exploit. Might not have been a great exploit. For some of us, it was a great exploit. For other people, it was, I do that every week, hey, Tony? He drives all over the country every week. But for some of us, it was a great exploit. So God has said, I'm going to bring fruitfulness. Already we share in the harvest in Edmonton that two people who were in the kingdom of darkness are now in the kingdom of light. That there's 18 people that were looking for a spiritual home, that they have found a spiritual home. That there are people that have gone in faith to plant a lighthouse right there. And they saw something being planted. They felt our love. They felt love. There were two guys from Nanaimo that also went there, and some other people as well, and I forget where they were from, but they weren't from Edmonton. See what God has for us now, not what we expect, and it's usually for our benefit. It's always for our benefit if it's God. Verse 10, it says, you will still be eating last year's harvest when you have to move it out to make room for the new. I want to say that we need to be cautious that we are generous in a season of plenty. That we are generous in a season of plenty. So often what happens is that God will bless a particular body. God takes us through a season. And the fruit is there, as we heard, so that people can come and sit in the shade of the tree, so that they that are not part of the tree can enjoy the fruit from that tree. That all the blessing that God gives us, it is a blessing to us for sure, but primarily it's for those who are going to a Christless eternity. Ultimately, it's so that we can be witnesses, so that we can be salt and light, so that we can reflect the generosity of God. So that we can say, ask me about how my life has changed. Let me tell you about Jesus and how He's turned my life upside down. So we as a church, we need to be generous. We need to be generous with our time. We need to be generous with our finances, with people, with talents, with gifts, with our building. More and more we have people come and say, we want to use your baptism, so we want to baptize some people. How much do you charge? We charge. God's blessed us. We've got a building. It's paid for. We've got some water. We might pay for the gas that heats the water. I don't know. We're not going to charge people for that. Just use it. If you want to give something, if you want to be generous, then that's fine. We're not going to ask people for it. It's a time for us to be generous in this time of fruitfulness. God said He promises here, He promises them, He's promising us that we'll still be enjoying the fruit of this, then something else will come. Years ago, I used to go out on a Saturday night. I've told the story before, I'll just tell it again, I don't care. Some of you haven't heard it. And so Lisa and I got involved with a group called The Ark, and it was an old railway hostel. People that worked on the railways, a hostel down near the beachfront in the city where we grew up in. And so they were taking homeless people. And a lot of people moved down to the coast, especially in the winter, because the minimum temperature was 14 Celsius, and we froze to death at 14 Celsius. But the guys inland, Johannesburg, those areas, they would go down to minus 10 and so on. So a lot of people would move. And people move around according to the weather. And so we'd have literally hundreds and hundreds of people living on the streets. And the Ark was there to look after these people. Now they were pretty strict, and they had all sorts of discipleship programs, and they'd teach them how to how to build, how to do brickwork, how to do carpentry, and all sorts of things like that. But then on a Saturday night, what would happen is that we would go around to all the restaurants that we had approached before, and when they closed down, all the food that was left over, they'd give to us on these big trays. And you had this big leather strap around your back, and it was a huge tray like this. And we knew where the guys were, and then we'd go out and we'd feed people. And we'd invite them, say, come to the ark, you know, come to the ark, you know, there's a warm bed for you there, there's going to be some good messages and so on to really, really help people. But for me, there's something about a generosity that when there is left over, what do? You see, we can say, well, you know, how food safe is that? How safe is hell? Food safe? Hell. Food safe? You know what I'm saying? Now, there weren't those laws in place at the time. You can't give people leftover food. Well, sometimes we've got to put some of our personal things aside, and we've got to say, man, there's things that need to be done so that people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we're going, as we're feeding people there, there'd be somebody who his turn would be not to hold the big tray, but he'd be reading scripture, and he'd be preaching the gospel. And he'd be inviting people to come to the ark. And so for me, there's this thing about our generosity is that sometimes, and each and every one of us, we know what it's like to have left over. You say to yourself, well, my family is well looked after. I've spent a good 17 hours this week watching television with my family. Maybe I could take some time off to go visit my neighbors. Maybe I could do something else so that I can be fruitful. Maybe I can go to my neighbor because I saw him on crutches. I can say to him, can I pray for you? Just try it. I don't know. Maybe he hits you with his crutch. I don't know. This thing, you're suffering for Jesus, eh? You say, yay! Okay, maybe that wasn't so exciting for some of you. Yes, yeah. God gives us so that we can be generous as well with all of these things. In Luke chapter 12, there's actually a warning, and Jesus tells this parable. He told them this parable, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. And who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Some people have preached that and like manipulated people before the offering goes around and say, you've got to be generous towards God and open your wallets and give. That's not what he's saying. He's saying be generous towards God in your life, in your talents, your gifts. Yes, your finances, but it's a whole lot more than that. It comes down just to that. We have a poor gospel. It's about a full life of saying, man, I have all these things that God has blessed me with. He's brought me into a season of fruitfulness, and the fruit is for those that are in need. God is generous so that we can reflect His character by being generous in every way that we can. You know, He promises that He will satisfy us. He says that in Him lies our contentment. When we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, these things will be given to us as well. When we say, I want to make my life count, and the decisions I make come through the filter of the kingdom, it changes the way we live. If it comes through the filter of other things, how is this convenient for me? How does that affect my pension? How does this affect my holidays? How does this do that? Then the filter is wrong. The filter says, this is the kingdom. Let's filter it through the kingdom. God is generous. He blesses us. Says that He will be our protector and He will be our provider in every season. You know, one of our, corporately, our favorite psalms and around the world is Psalm 23. It's about God being the shepherd and He tends His sheep. And he says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for You're with me. It doesn't say, even though You reroute me so that I don't go through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say that. He says, even though I go through there, that You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. That's what He says. And so He doesn't promise us no problems. He doesn't promise us a life free of challenges. But He does promise us that He'll always be there with us, no matter what that season looks like, no matter where we find ourselves. He'll never leave us alone. He might not always take us out, but He'll take us through. So in which season are we? See, we just declare a season of fruitfulness. That doesn't count. Okay, God's got to declare it. Everybody understand that? So, all right, now we're going to go to a season of fruitfulness. The elders sat down, had a planning meeting and say, let's declare another season. But it doesn't work that way. You've got to say, God, where are you taking us? And God starts speaking and this and that. Oh, I remember he kind of hinted at it over there. Remember that scripture? Oh, there was something of a preempting of this. Then God starts speaking. We say, oh, our spirit's witness with that. We believe that God has given us gifts to the church to build us up, to enable us. It's not a way to try and twist God's arm into the next season and say, we declare this, therefore God, come along and do that. First of all, inwardly, for each and every one of us. And so this is the challenge for us as individuals. I believe it's a continuation of a season of plowing in our lives and removing rocks. It's an amazing thing is that we always seem to be in that season. God's always, by His Spirit, always working on a few more things because we are always going from glory to glory. We are always becoming holier. We are always becoming more conformed to the image of Christ. And He does that by taking stuff out of our lives. And then He does it by putting things into our lives. He takes out those things that are unhelpful and He puts in those things that are going to be fruitful. He takes out the rocks and he puts in the fertilizer of truth. He says, these things will hinder the growth. This thing is going to help the growth. Doing the basics. Priesthood of all believers. When we put that into our lives, we reap an army marching shoulder to shoulder. It seems like a little thing. Let's do stuff together. Let's not be individuals out there. Why do we say that? Why? Because that's what we sow and what do we reap? We reap people that love each other with a covenant love, shoulder to shoulder, walking forward, seeing the kingdom advance, where we will literally die for each other. We say things like the Bible plus nothing, the Bible minus nothing. We put that in, we sow those things into our lives, and in time it reaps a harvest. It reaps a harvest of a deeper understanding of the truth and not just opinions. And we say, this is what our life is based on, the truth of God's Word, not just what seems to be the right thing to do. That's why we sow those things into our lives. And these are the things that have been sown over the last many years, even before I got here. Just speaking to Jan, she says, it's amazing how much the things you say is the same thing Stu says. You just say it with a different accent and maybe a few different words. Same thing. It's been put into the life of the church for years and years and years, and the harvest that is reaped. Those that stand on the Word of God and say, man, it's the Bible. Don't worship the Bible. Worship the God of the Bible, but there we have a rock upon which we stand. We sow in their friendship and not only function. We reap a community that is known for its love for one another. You know, when Jesus said that this is how people will know you, my disciples, through your love for one another, it's got to be a supernatural love. Lots of people love each other. It doesn't prove they're disciples. But there's a love that we have for each other that Jesus speaks about. Even something simple like you sowing in, prioritizing certain times of the week. We say, Sunday morning, I'm going to put this rock in my week. And everything I can do, I'm going to try and work around it because this thing is solid. We say, Wednesday nights, when I go to life, I'm going to make that a rock in my week. That's how I'm going to put those rocks in there. And then we'll try and work our way around. Seek first His kingdom. Why do we do those things? Because then we reap a consistent growth and a common direction. So that as a church, there's a fruitfulness, is that we continue to grow. Why? Because we've prioritized certain things that are going to help us to grow. And we walk together. So as a church, outwardly, what does this mean? I believe it's a season of reaping. A season of reaping. We come to God in faith, trusting in anticipation that we are going to see a season of reaping. Reaping through evangelism. souls saved. So what it means is that we look for opportunity. We don't Bible bash people. But we don't use that as an excuse never to speak to people about Jesus either. Sometimes we can go that route and say, well, I'm not going to bash anybody with the Bible. We're actually saying, I'm never going to talk about Jesus, if we're honest with ourselves. And we don't do that. But man, we're open to it. If somebody opens the door, we step in. Somebody asks us about our faith and say, I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you about it. Because the moment has come. And we start to say, God, where are the areas that I can be fruitful in this, that we can see people saved? I'm still going to continue to sow the seed, without a doubt. But man, I want to lead somebody to Jesus. Not so I can get a scratch on my Bible. You know, little notch on the Bible, yeah. Put our notches on. It's not about that. I hope nobody does that. I'm just saying. Reaping through financial growth. The church is doing well financially. It's an amazing thing that if just a couple of years ago, the church was doing terribly financially. And there were, we took some faith steps. We took some steps of faith. We spoke to the congregation. We said, guys, here's an issue. We need to be generous financially. And if everybody tithed, if everybody did what they were supposed to do, we wouldn't be in the situation we are right now. Check your hearts. Are you being generous before God or not? And God brought us into this, but we want to be even more fruitful. We want to be able to, with confidence, take aside, set aside an amount of money to be able to send it to support work that is going on in about 11 or 12 different other countries. That for me is like, there's a fruitfulness right there. And remember, the fruit is not only for our benefit, it's for the benefit of those who are looking for the fruit. We want to reap in the area of healings. Step out in faith. What about in your life group? Somebody says, I'm feeling sick. You say, do you want a Tylenol? I've got a spare one in my purse, or my merce if you're a guy. So let me pray for you. Let's pray for you. Let's see something of a fruitfulness of healings in our lives. So if somebody has a headache, we say, well, I want to start there. I'm not quite ready to see an entire leg attached to an amputee. I mean, that would be amazing, and it has happened. But let me start with a headache. Let me start where I am. And even if you stand there with your hands on the person, agreeing with the person that is praying, in the end you say, amen, you're saying, so let it be, you've extended some faith there. Start somewhere. God has promised, He said, the area of healings. That's going to be amazing. Not so that everybody can be, oh, there's healings going on at New Life. No, that's not what it's about. It's bringing glory to God. Reaping through great exploits for God. We started with a small exploit. We've started a site in New Life West. And so we get together there. It's something that we've extended ourselves. Extended our people. There's a greater commitment. Going out to Edmonton, there's a great exploit in God. We're going to be part of a team of, I don't know, 8,000 to 14,000 people, who knows, going to get together, and the majority of those people are going to be traveling into southern and central Africa to partner with local churches as a great outreach at that time. I believe it's a season of freedom that is upon us. Step up to the plate. You're here for a reason. You are here for a reason. I believe it's like having wide open spaces to be able to run and to jump, to roll around, to do what God has called you to do. Not all restrictive. But saying, God, you have given us this freedom. Let's reap like never before. Start to see what has been sown over the years actually come to fruition. Eventually, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 9, a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. In the context of fruitfulness, continue to pray for people. Continue to extend your faith. Continue to come to God with expectation. that He's going to meet my needs, not only my needs, but it's going to be overflowing so that I can meet others' needs as well. We will reap what we sow. It's a life principle. God has promised us a season of fruitfulness. Let's step out into that season with confidence in what He has said. Confidence in that the Holy Spirit is the one that brings growth. Takes the pressure off us. But let's step into that fruitfulness. Make it this week. As you go home today, make a decision. Say, God, give me an opportunity, please, this week. And I'll be faithful to respond to what You say. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this season of fruitfulness that You're bringing to us, Lord God, bringing us into. But Lord, I pray that it won't just be something that we just preach about, talk about, remember, recite, and so on, but that we would start to see fruit in our lives and in the lives of others. In our lives where there seems to be a shortcoming, where there seems to be areas that we're not fruitful, that we know we should be. Pray, Lord God, that we would come to You with faith, anticipation, expectation. There's going to be a fruitfulness, Lord, in our personal lives. And then, Lord, we want to see a fruitfulness as a body. Lord, we love to see people healed, Lord God, miraculously healed. Cancers defeated, Lord God. Things that can be recorded as such. I'd like to see great exploits in You, Lord God. I'd like to see the finances grow to a point where we can be even more generous than what we've decided to be. Can't outgive You, Lord. Pray for fruitfulness, Lord God, in the miraculous. Pray, Lord God, above all else, that the fruit of the Spirit would be evident in our lives, that we would be a blessing to all nations, that we would reflect who our Father in heaven is and bring the good news to others, that we see many souls saved, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.